Life is full of personal wins, whether it's cleaning your house, getting that dream car, or checking off your to-do list. Winning at life is a great feeling. And with the State Farm Personal Price Plan, you can keep winning when you create an affordable price just for you by bundling home and auto. So give yourself a round of applause. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state. This episode is brought to you by Noom. Forget one-size-fits-all diets. With Noom, you get a personalized weight loss plan that's tailored to your lifestyle. No food is off-limits. Enjoy your favorites while discovering healthier habits. Noom's users love the flexible approach, blending psychology and biology to help you lose weight in a way that's sustainable for you. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's N-O-O-M.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 789. Katie, let's go to the Nerdist Community Corkboard. I know there's one that I was also going to share, but you asked if you could share it, so we are both sharing it together.
Yes.
And it's for our friend Dan Telfer.
Yes, he was recently diagnosed with cancer.
DT.
And so, if you know, he has a family. He's got a wife. He's got a couple kids.
And he lives in Pasadena.
It's tough. It's tough. So he, someone set up a YouCaring site for him.
Yeah, his brother set up the YouCaring
site. Yeah, so if you go to YouCaring.com and search Dan Telfer, that's T-E-L-F-E-R.
We created a URL for it.
Oh, good. I didn't find it.
We created a URL for it because I know that those crowdfunding sites can have really long.
Yeah.
It's DanRulesCancerDrools.com.
Oh, that's awesome. Okay.
Yeah, so Dan, the prognosis is good. Dan's a great guy. He works on At Midnight. He will continue to work on At Midnight. You know,
and he's so funny. Follow him on Twitter.
He does. He's one of the people that runs our social media, and he was also on the last stand-up cluster.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, Dan. I know his target funding was $15,000, and they did raise past that. But you know, he doesn't know exactly what this process is exactly going to be. So anything beyond that is also very helpful. So please. Go support Dan. He's a good guy, and he's got a sweet family, and you should help him out.
Yep.
Anything else?
Let's say we go over this $15,000. Great. And then, right, let's say he gets his treatment, everything works out. Hopefully, he can use the extra to move out of Pasadena.
It is far away.
But
if you're raising a family, Pasadena is a nice town.
Sure is. Well, Burbank's
kind of,
also
it's
lovely.
It's kind of funny you mentioned Pasadena because the other thing on the corkboard has to do with Pasadena. It's the Artemis Film Festival. Artemis Film Festival in Pasadena, April 22nd through the 24th.
Are they just screening the Wild Wild West?
No, that's Artemis is a character.
Wiki Wiki Wah.
Yep.
No, but it's at the Lemley Playhouse 7 Theater. It sounds like it's going to be really cool, and you can find more info at ArtemisFilmFestival.com.
By the way, did you ever watch the original Wild Wild West, the
yes,
TV
it's
version?
Great.
I knew you would love that show. It's a great show.
It's like James Bond, Old West James Bond.
Old West James Bond.
Yeah, it's great.
And had an amazing opening title sequence.
Yeah.
Yeah, now I feel like I want to go back and watch Wild Wild West
again. That's great. If we could just maybe get the rights to that and make an actual movie.
They tried.
They sure did.
They really tried. Their hearts were in the right place. Go back and remake that, Hollywood. Angela Bassett, who was rad. She was. She'd been doing junkets all day, and she still came in so energetic and so wonderful. And she's promoting London Has Fallen. It's in theaters Friday, March 4th.
And if we can get this hashtag trending.
Bassett. What was it?
Bassett. Was it Bassett Trek 2016?
Yeah,
oh,
that was
Bassett
it.
Trek Bassett 2016. Trek,
yeah.
Bassett to make her a captain.
I want her on.
This on the new Star Wars and then on the new Star
How
Trek
dare
series.
You.
I was a slip.
New Star Trek series also hired Nicholas Meyer as a writer.
When are you going to hire Matt Myra on the new Star Trek series?
But I mean,
Star Trek.
Come on, Nicholas Meyer. He did, if everyone remembers, Star Trek 2, The Wrath of Khan. He wrote and directed. He also wrote and directed Star Trek 6, The Undiscovered Country. two of the greatest Katie entries the into the Star Trek universe.
He's not going to stop.
Nicholas Myers did, and I'm very excited. So I feel like if Matt Myra could also be there, that'd be great. Mm-hmm. We'd have Myers and Myra.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Katie's
dog's the unofficial mascot. Mm-hmm. She lies there. And that's pretty much it.
We should get some pet paint and put the Nerdist logo on her. Yeah. I saw that on Shark Tank.
Sofas.
Yeah. What did you see on Shark Tank?
Pet paint. Someone was in there pitching biodegradable paint for your pet so you could paint them up for like holidays.
Is that recent?
I would say it's probably a season fiver.
Watch Shark Tank. I missed that.
I feel like Damon.
Would you paint your pet?
It was either Damon that invested, or it was
more than a hobby.
Yeah.
God, who invested in that?
It became a thing.
Yes. Yes, it did.
Got a deal, huh?
Yeah, they got a deal.
Well, I thought someone painted you.
And it's on the shelves at Petco.
And then you got to wash the dog, too, right?
God, I can't even think. I can't.
Oh, okay.
I did little red, white, and blue stars on my dog. For okay.
Barbara. I think it was Barbara.
So it's sort of like this Barbara whole thing Corcoran. Of like colorful hair, like blue hair.
Yeah, I guess it just gives you the opportunity to decorate your dog, and they can't do anything about it because they're your dog.
Hey, right. And they don't have style. Yeah,
exactly. Right? You can do whatever sort of non-invasive. Aww. Katie, will you please get pet paint and paint the Nerdist logo on the back of Scout one of these days? Okay, good.
You totally got time. You got time.
And then whoever, depending on who's artistic abilities, but
do you have time to watch television ever?
Oh, you know, after a long day, I got to go home and decompress, just veg out on the couch. And
right? Shark Tank's perfect for that.
Yeah, with DVR, you can not miss anything. Damn it.
Do you need to, do you have to watch, because I find working in comedy, I don't watch a lot of comedy when I go home. When you're working on dramatic stuff, can you not go home and watch like intense drama stuff, or do you need to watch
some reality stupid non-committal
dumb stuff,
dumb
right? Where you don't need your brain.
That if my husband walks through, I'm like trying to like get out of it real quick.
No, this documentary on the Civil War is very interesting.
She gets it. She knows. That's why I sit and just watch Chopped. Like, it's like, yeah, sure, I'll watch.
You're not a dramatic actor,
bunch
though.
Of dummies.
She has an incredible That's amount of fair. Focus all day.
Yeah, That's you know, fair. I try. Yeah, you got
to
be
it
in the mood.
It takes focus to write dick jokes, Chris.
I get that. Yeah, I know. Have you been doing press all day?
I have.
You look amazing.
Do I? Okay.
I mean, you look
blurry.
Absolutely amazing.
Thank you. I got a jello brain, but
it is. Yeah. You do get jello brain by the end of the day. What part of your brain do you have to start accessing when it starts to turn? Because this is going to be a very easy, laid back conversation.
Oh, I appreciate that.
We're not trying to railroad you with any hard hitting questions. We're not trying to make you feel. I want you to leave here feeling better than when you got here.
All right.
Is that possible?
I looking around. Let's see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no. You know. You got a couple bearded guys in hoodies, and then a jean jacket lady, and I'm in a sweatshirt and a dog.
And a
like
dog
this is,
who's like they want to paint me. I'm looking east. I'm looking east. This orange collar is not enough for them. Donna James.
Come to a clubhouse today. Okay. There's no junket stuff. It's all over. You done after this? Is this it?
I got more tomorrow and even more next week. Yeah.
I always wondered.
It's like, yeah.
Have you done the junket, or is that today?
No, not yet. Today was the first day.
Buckle up.
So it started. It starts today. Me until May 1st or something like that.
Oh, my God.
Like, I got stuff to do. I got kids. Come on.
You know what you should do is you should just have your kids do all the interview you for all the junkets. Because then
from your house.
Yeah, exactly. Then you'd never have to leave your house. You'd be spending time with your kids. You'd have complete control over whatever the interviews are. And then you would never have to go anywhere.
I would like
after
that.
That.
I would like that.
Mom, why did London fall?
I was like, wake up.
I'm being the kid.
I always kind of wonder if when you did you go to Yale drama?
Mm-hmm. And undergrad.
Oh wow!
I did not have enough. Yeah.
So did you? Was it you did Yale drama undergrad and then you did the master's program?
No. What'd you say? Say
you did
that
Yale
again?
Drama undergrad and you did the master's program.
Yale undergrad
as drama.
The program was only 2 years in existence, so it was like, you know, take all five of those drama classes and add it to an English major or history major or something, you know.
Oh, they were just coming.
So you were a guinea pig to figure out how this program will work.
Yeah, by the skin of my chin did I come out with a degree of any sort.
Yeah. I just kind of wonder, like, why they don't train. I mean, if they're training people to be actors, they must assume, well, these people are going to work. Why don't they? Why are there not classes in like, here's how you do a junket, here's how you survive, here's how you survive a panel talk show, here's how you survive an interview with a hostile reporter?
That is too far into the future. That would really be projecting.
We've brought in Byron Allen today to ask you questions against a backdrop.
Byron. Listen, it was a conservatory training. It was staged. You didn't even stage training, you know. So you didn't get training on. I remember I left New Haven and went to New York, and it was about television and commercials and, you know. So you didn't have training in that.
Yeah.
So I was like happy to get a soap opera. Search for Tomorrow. And
you did Search for Tomorrow?
Yeah, Guiding Light, Search for Tomorrow. And it was like, okay, they're paying me, but I'm going to school to learn how to act in front of a camera. And I remember my teacher said, don't wave the rubber chicken. Stop indicating. You know, theater, you got to hit the back of the wall. So everything's big and you have to enunciate and project. And it's too much for the small screen.
Yeah.
It's too much.
Especially on a soap opera, though, which I imagine you're getting pages the day you're shooting, right? And they're just like, here, stand over there. Be upset.
Right, right.
I mean, that had to be an equal amount of education in terms of...
It was. It was. I'd come home, I'd sit in front of the television and with my little pen and paper, just like you. What are you writing over there? And I would, you know, like, take notes. Oh, that was too much. Oh, that was a little much. Oh, I was over the top. Oh, okay, that's not too bad. So it took time. You can always bring it back, I think.
Yeah.
You know, from stage, if you're a stage actor, you can always pull it back. It's when you have to, like, could you give a little bit more enthusiasm? Could you pump it up? So.
Can you watch yourself? Like, when you shoot a movie or shoot a television show, can you watch it?
Absolutely. I can.
Good.
Although I've met actors, you know, one of my co-stars in London Has Fallen. He said he doesn't watch himself. I was like, and I got to do an interview with this press with you, and you haven't seen it. So, yeah.
Yeah, some people feel that if they watch it, they become too aware of what they're doing. Mm-hmm. But I feel like, how can you know what you're doing unless you see it as an audience member?
I don't get it either. But I think I have a good third eye. That's why I call it, you know.
Yeah.
Which is why I went into directing last year. You know, always having the eye toward, you know, how are you holding the space? How are you commanding the space, the scenes?
Was that something you always wanted to do, directing?
You know, you go through periods of wanting it more, and then it's like, it's too hard. Too hard to get this happening. You just go back to your comfort zone. So it just sort of fell into my laps, and I enjoyed it. And I really liked the editing process. I thought that would bore me to tears.
I've never heard anyone say that.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, because it's so... It's.
Oh, I bet. No, but you've been acting for so long that it's. I assume it would be very interesting for you to see that. Part of the process.
Yeah, very...
Were you ever like, oh no, almost, she's not going to like that take. Don't use that take.
Right. Or you could almost, like you have the movie as you're acting it, then as you're directing it, and then you can massage it in the editing room sometimes and just move things around and create a whole nother thing.
I guess
hopefully,
that's true.
If you have the good bones to work with.
It always feels so stressful to me because I think there... You know, there's an infinite number of possibilities for the way that this could turn out. How do you know what the right path is?
I know. That's the stressful part, especially since I'm a person who likes options, you know, as opposed to just make a decision and go with it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I like to perform. You know, well, let's try with this note. Let's try this note. Let's try this tone. Mm. Let's not all play the same instrument and the same note, you know, which I think is what a scene is about. But it's easy to get caught up in that, you know, directing the actor. He may pick, if someone's got a strong personality, you pick up their momentum and tone. And it's like, no, 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 no. We can't occupy the same space, you know.
Yeah. What do you have an idea of what your directing style is yet?
Let's see. Don't be afraid to admit you don't know it all. Appreciate definitely, you know, all the other, you know, craftsmen in the lane that they occupy.
Yeah.
And just let your actors feel as if they are everything, that they are absolutely divine perfection in a room. So that they're not afraid to fall on their face or ass or anything else for you.
Yeah.
So, you know, because you're there for them.
It's important for you to make them as comfortable as
absolutely
possible.
Absolutely. I mean, that's who's inspired me. That's when I felt the best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I think as an actor, you're really vulnerable, and it's really about, like, laying yourself bare. You know, really being available to the character, to the director, to their condescension, you know, to them. I mean, you know, to being judged, to being, oh, no, 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 that's not right. That's not right. That's not enough. You know, it's, you know, it can be, you know, frightful, mean, you know. So if you, you know, just coax them along, make them feel just really genuinely comfortable, like they can't make a mistake, they're everything, then people will give you all they got.
You played so many characters that are so strong. Mm-hmm. Do you always feel that way? I mean, when you're, do you find yourself in a situation where you're working with someone and you feel, you don't
like, yeah.
How am I going to bring that? How am I going to fake that today?
Yeah. Oh, you got to just fake it. You just got to bring, you know, I remember, working with Kathy Bates. So that's what comes to mind when we did Coven and my first scene, you know, going to New Orleans, love New Orleans, going on this
show. I watched that season.
What was it? The third season. You know, these actors have been together, their little family, and I'm coming down here. Oh, great role. Wonderful. And my first scene is with Kathy Bates, you know, who I was, you know, just had such, you know, respect for, seeing her, you know, on Broadway before Misery and all that even took place. I mean, she was just the man on Broadway. No, she was a woman on Broadway. And so, I mean, knees really shaking. But thankfully, it was in the 1800s. I had a big old skirt on, petticoats. You really couldn't see it. Yeah. Bring some attitude and, you know. But she couldn't have been nicer. She couldn't have been nicer. But it, you know, it's just respect, I think. It's just respect, regard. Same feeling I had working with Meryl Streep. Oh, my gosh. You know, you're sitting there, hair and makeup, and you're like, I got this scene with her. And she's like, oh, I was so nervous to be working with you. And you're like, what? Surely you lie. But tell me more lies. Tell me more lies. You make me feel so good.
I mean, it's comforting in a way to hear that, you know, as much amazing work as you've done, that you still have those moments where you still feel like, oh, I'm a brand new performer, and this is fresh, and this is new, and I'm nervous, and, you know, I think it's nice.
It's great, yeah.
Do you think
take it for granted? Don't like, oh, I've seen this, done this, whatever. I hate that. You know, I just love show up on the set, on the room, and as long as you can keep the, you know, the wonder and the enthusiasm and the first love business about it all.
Was that, were you always that way? Or did you have to learn to be that way for this business?
Oh, I think I am that way. You know, you grow up, you go to movies, watch television, whatever. And, you know, you have your folk you admire and idols. And, of course, it was always, are they nice? Are they nice? You know, and you're so disappointed when they're not. Oh, so disappointed. But
we know you're talking about Morgan Freeman.
You know, what?
He's kidding.
He's been on the podcast. It's okay.
He's been on the podcast. Oh, he was so sweet.
He is. I, you know, working at London Has Fallen, he was I was nervous to work with him also, because I remember I did this play on Broadway and he was on the board and he came. I was doing the Scottish play, Macbeth, with, I could say that here, we're not in the theater.
We're not in the theater. You're good to say it here.
I don't have to spit and turn around three times. So he came to opening night, and I think he was a friend of Alex, and I remember he was eating grapes, you know, our grapes off the table, standing right next to my dressing room. And, you know, you just come off stage, you just bared your soul, you just like, the queen of spades, she had, I mean, yeah. Just crying, just giving it up. And you just, I mean, you got to say something.
Yeah, sure.
You know, in the theater, you got to say, I saw you up there. You know, you gotta say something. You can't say nothing. You know, and of course, an actor will hear that and he'll be like, oh, he liked me.
Yeah,
and he'll say, yeah, you were up there on the stage. He said nothing.
What?
I was just like, I was so, I was like, he's from the theater. He knows better. He knows better.
You found out later the grapes weren't seedless and he was busy.
Right. He was hungry. It was a long show, that Scottish play. So I was like, But then, years pass and now I'm working with him and I was like, eating those grapes. And I came in and he couldn't have been nicer. He's sitting to the left of me. He's singing songs all day long. Just a humming, just a going, just a bop, you know, because there's a lot of time waiting around on the set. And I don't think he remembers. He don't remember it at all. But he couldn't have been warmer, funnier, you know, lovelier.
That's why you got to show up with grapes and ignore Morgan Freeman the whole time. Like, no, these grapes are really good.
You do get a second chance to make a first impression.
What do you prefer? Do you prefer the bigness of the theater?
I love theater. Yeah. My husband and I, Courtney B. Vance.
Yes.
Yes.
He's crushing it right now.
Into People versus OJ. My God. Is he not killing the game?
The first three episodes last
night.
Yeah,
he's pretty awesome.
I love him.
He's my favorite
of the Law and Orders.
you've seen every Law and Order.
Well, not every Law and Order, regular Law and Order. Once Sam Waterston left, I was like, I can't keep up with regular Law and Order anymore. And then once D'Onofrio left.
Ooh, was he not crazy when that started? You're like, wait a minute, I can't get with this crazy Law and Order.
He was his own Dutch angle, Vincent D'Onofrio. Like, he would show up and he'd lean.
I'm trying to do that. I'm like, oh, God, that went to my head.
When he would miss weeks of taping because he was like exhausted from, they said he was exhausted from the acting on that show. I'm like, well, if you're doing that every fucking second, of course you're going to be exhausted. Your blood's not flowing directly. Right. You're always half leaning. Did you ever watch Criminal Intent?
I did not watch Criminal Intent.
Oh, get on a bandwagon.
After a while, you know, like an itch.
Yeah.
It began to satisfy.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, sorry.
Courtney was in courtrooms of that.
Yeah,
in
I just went off on a B. Vance.
After like the first week, he was no longer Carver in the courtroom.
Right.
D'Onofrio.
Yeah.
He spent knew everything to answer to everything. So now he gets to play out his courtroom theatrics. Yeah.
That's so nice, though. You guys have been married since like 97?
Yeah, forever.
That's fantastic.
Is it?
It is fantastic. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
No, because it's just, cool. You know, I'm getting married in August.
Oh.
And,
You
just got married.
I did.
Oh,
thank you.
A few months ago.
Congratulations.
And, you know, in a town and a business that seems a little mercurial and, you know, obviously because people travel, they get stuck on different jobs, that can be difficult, and like to see someone maintain a relationship you know for 20 years is really it's nice, it's inspiring, and it also makes you feel like, oh, it's possible. People can do it.
Find the right one.
How did you know?
You know what I appreciated about him is that he was so supportive and good to everybody, to people, you know. I guess he gets that from his mom. I mean, she's like the same way. If she comes to visit, I mean, she lives with us now, but if he says, oh, I got to get up and change the sprinklers at 4 a.m., I'll be like, good luck with that. She's like, I'll get up with you, hon. And she's, you know, but he's that. He's there, you know, to support you, rah-rah, cheer you. And he don't get tired. He ain't lazy.
He always wore a Breitling on that show. I remember his watch. I don't know.
That was my first Christmas gift.
You're shitting me.
No, I'm not.
I always remember that watch. That's, and I was like, that's a good watch.
That's why.
It was that exact watch?
Yeah. Ray Breitling. Yeah.
Yes.
Good eye.
Wow.
Wow. You are
good
amazing.
Eye.
Wow. Yeah. My weird nerdiness for watches and procedurals has really come to hand.
It's come together.
You see that, Mom? It wasn't wasted time.
That's a good. I mean, what you're saying right now, I think, is for anyone who's met a guy that they like, ask if they have a good relationship with their mom. If they have a good relationship with their mom.
That's just, you're just saying that because you have a good relationship with your mom.
Yeah, so does Courtney. Sam sounds like he's got a good relationship with his mom.
He does.
See, it's important. That's good. It's good. I'm not saying it's not possible.
Well, OJ had a great relationship with his mother.
All right, okay. Well,
I don't know if you know this, but he wrote three letters. Huh?
All right. Okay, so there's some holes. There's some holes.
Good relation and narcissism intersect. Oh my God. So, like everything, it's not all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a steadfast rule. It doesn't apply to everything.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not gravity.
No, but you know what though? Okay, so no, but that's not going to.
You can say most of the time.
No, but he was
in many cases.
But he was a star athlete. I think being a star athlete like screws with people's brains.
No, I think him being a football player and getting CTE screwed with his brain.
Is that for sure?
That's the new.
I mean,
that's the new theory.
Scared the hell out of me that movie.
Oh yeah, of course.
I was like, I ain't got hit in the brain. What is my problem? Yeah, what's my problem? Sometimes
I played 3 years in high school as a nose guard. I'm like, oh God, what is going on in my head? That could explain a lot.
Could explain a lot. Yeah. You could just go home and go, honey, I figured out what it is. I get hit in the head
a lot.
You know what?
Tell my therapist next week. Guess what? Just solved the problem for you, buddy.
Uh-huh. Hit in the head. No, where's my money? I'm going to make him pay you. So you were born in New York.
Yes. Born in New York City.
And then you moved to St. Petersburg,
moved
Florida.
Moved to Winston-Salem.
Winston-Salem.
Yeah, because my sister is like 15 months younger than I, so... Moved to Winston, my father's sister, Aunt Golden, and she was like her name, Golden person. And after 4 years, I guess, you know, mom, dad split up, mom gone, you know, she went to New York. All of her siblings went to New York right after 12th grade, you know, right out of high school.
Oh, wow.
And did her thing, rough, whatever, had her time, met my dad. Then she went on back home, stopped in North Carolina, picked me up, kept going.
down to Florida.
Guess what? We're still moving.
What did you do in St. Petersburg, Florida?
Oh, not too much. I mean, but it was good. Went to Bogusiega High School, Daytona Beach. You know, not Daytona, Distant. That's what it was. Distant. Daytona Beach was the other side of the state.
Trying to get a much better location.
You know, let me see. Grew up. Walked across the street, hopped the fence, hey, go to first, second, third, sixth grade, you know, it was easy. Then, you know, seventh grade, they started busing. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you get on the bus and then you're going way across town with all kinds of folk, you know, white flight. I look back at my little, you know, yearbook and it was like, oh, I remember her. But you remember these faces, all these faces. It was only a seventh grade class. When they bus me across town, this little school, little middle school or something, the idea of middle school was only seventh grade. So it was small and, you know, we were kids. So we were lovely. Now, they were having problems in high school. People were bringing dogs and, you know, brass knuckles and all kind of frightening things, and principals who were sergeants in armies and keeping people straight. And we were like, oh, you know, I don't want to fight. Did that. But it was interesting. And also I was involved in a, you know, an enrichment summer weekend program called Upward Bound at the local college there, Eckerd College. And there was a teacher a director of the program who came through 1 year, and he saw something in me. You know, when you have people who speak into your lives and it makes just you know, a world of difference, because I grew up with, you know, single mom who, like I said, she headed to New York and was like a hospital aide, you know. Mm. You know, that's what she qualified to do. She hadn't gone to college herself. My Aunt Golden had. She was, you know, that one who every summer take some courses, go back to school, go back to work every summer until she just on and on and on to the doctorate degree. Wow. So I had these, you know, that one who's in there working hard, making, you know, getting a dollar out of 10 cent, you know, and this aunt who's sending us, the kids, her straight A's, you know, as inspiration. So they were just two very inspirational women in my life.
Well, so what happened in the Upward Bound program?
It was like kids from the neighborhood, friends, you know, we would party. We get to spend 6 weeks on a college campus away from mom. And it was about, you know, sprinklers went on at like 12:15. But the parties over in your dorm. So it was a lot of mystery and intrigue and stealth and maneuvers, you know, across the campus and, you know, climbing out of windows and that sort of thing. But, you know, good fun, not too dangerous, sure. not trying to do anything that would, you know, change your life too radically when you've got dreams.
What were your dreams? When you're dreaming at that point, when you're daydreaming at that point and going, this is what I want from my life, what was it?
Oh, my gosh. Other than, like, marrying somebody from one of the brothers from the Jackson 5.
It was Tito, wasn't it?
You remind me of Tito. You're so rugged.
I'll take that
handsome.
As a compliment.
Yeah, you bet. Yeah, I mean, it is one. But, it was my mother's dream. You're going to college. Because she hadn't, and she, you know, she was like, you know, she made C's and D's, so she was always constantly on my sister and I. And it was like, you come home, mom, and, let me have my compelling argument. Okay, it's not an A, it's not a B. It's a C. C is average, but I don't have average kids. So it was sort of like, you know how you sort of get a spanking, but you kind of feel good about it. I'm not average. So that changes the way you perceive yourself and think. Don't settle for average or mediocrity. It's a heavy mantle to bear, but bear it you must. And, she would sit you down for hours and hours and hours at that little, linoleum floor, fake wood kitchen table. You're like, Lord, why did I not behave? This is going to be a 5-hour talk to.
She's going to bore you into straightening up.
Yes. Do you know what pot is?
Why, do you want some?
Do you know what grass is? It's like, and not that stuff out there. My cousin Connie gave me grass, and I didn't know my ass from a hole in the ground. A hole in the ground? Is that she was wonderful, but she wanted my sister and I to go to college. She didn't know where. She didn't care where. Except when I got into Mount Holyoke, and she said, "You know, Angela, there's two kind of lesbians." She's like, "Ma, born and made." Like, what are you talking about?
Hey,
yeah,
those are some wise words.
Yeah, my mom knew more than I gave her credit for. It's like, I guess I'm going to Yale. They gave me the scholarship. I don't know what you're talking about, but okay. Yeah.
So you still managed to, it sounds like you still managed to have some fun in high school, but somehow you were able to focus and get into Yale.
Mm-hmm.
What was
because I just get right up to the edge of fun. Over. Yeah. And then pull it back. No. Yeah. I did. You know, I did a little theater in high. Well, there was only one theater in high school, St. Pete Little Theater. So I was like, ooh, let me go. I mean, I really want to go out for the little play. And that meant that there were rehearsals every night. But then my friends were over at Eckerd College. Of course, I only had 4 lines in the play, but my mom didn't know that. You know, my rehearsal was over pretty quickly. Then it was like, hey, swing by, pick me up, go hang out at the college with a little college boyfriend for an hour, have me home by midnight. You know, we're only going so far.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have a lot of energy when you're young to do stuff. When you're a kid, you can do that stuff.
Yeah.
you can be up at 4 o'clock in the morning and start your day again. Mm. What type of What parenting skills do you think you took from that? Like, what? How did that inform you as a parent?
Oh Lord, my mom was a little bit dramatic herself, I think, you know. She always wanted to be a singer, so she was dramatic. She's funny. Her whole family is just her siblings. There's four of them, two boys, two girls. And when they're together, they were just hysterical seeing them together, just funny. But she could be loud. And so I think that's part of what I take. And I have to say, okay, I'm going to get off my soapbox now. I jump on the soapbox. I explain everything. I wish I could just, because I said so, you know.
Yeah. Right.
Or my kids were in Boy Scout, Girl Scouts, and so they go to different places, like, you know, a little nursing home or something sure. like that. And the head, she'd say, all right, girls, there are going to be some things you'll see and smells you'll smell. Get your face right. And go through the door. And they would just, I mean, little words, straight to the point, fix your face. And you don't have to say anything else. Me, I feel like I have to over-explain things.
Right. But you catch yourself doing it.
Yeah. I try to be cool and give you leeway until they take too much advantage. Then I go off. But in a controlled way, in an I know what I'm doing way, because I'm an actor.
Mm-hmm.
So I just put the melodrama on it sometimes.
You're putting the craft into the parent. That's great.
Why aren't y'all getting along? Oh, I will throw a fork down and walk away from the table.
Do you fake cry to make your kids feel bad?
They're real tears, but it's manufactured
but it's
emotion.
It's
yeah, yeah.
It's a performance.
Yeah, it's performance art. But they don't know that. They don't know that. Yeah. And I know I have the advantage. Yeah. thank you. Uh-huh. I do. It's not fake cry.
God, I wonder how many moms do that.
I feel like, and then they just get to the end. They just slam the door, and then just they're on the other side of the door, just looking to see if it had any effect. Mm-hmm. Your family should give you some kind of an award.
I know. Play this piano. Get that lesson done. He wasn't doing it. That's all right. Let's just quit. Let's just give up. Let's just walk out the front door, slam it. Mom, come back.
All right.
You have to be very careful.
I know it's terrible.
Do you know why?
Then you're looking for a girl just like you're crazy.
I just meant.
Oh, and then I have to back up and say, don't be manipulated by the games women play. See, I got to get him straight with that.
You can flip it.
I got to, yeah.
I just mean.
Don't want that.
If
don't
you
want that. Be smart.
You can unload
smart. Because, you know, we both play games.
You can unload
I'm glad you're not on a fixed gear for all that backpedaling you have to do.
You can unload a performance on your kid, and they could go, no. I think that was from What's Love Got to Do With It. You're like, damn it! You don't know what's still floating around right. in your head that was in a movie that you did. Does it just, when you finish a project, does it just leave your brain because you're so living in the moment when you're doing it?
After a few months, maybe. With What's Love, that took a while. I mean, I was sounding like I was living in, you know, London or Switzerland or wherever she was from for a couple of minutes. You know, and had her laugh, had affected her laugh and that sort of thing. So it stayed on me for a while. It took a while to, you know, go through my system, process through the system.
Wow. I mean, a movie like that feels like kind of like a trial by fire. Where it's like you're playing someone who's still very much alive, who is aware of what you're doing, who is one of the greatest performers
That's
in the history.
Right.
Best legs in the business.
Seen her. Yeah.
And
still.
Yeah.
And you.
Yes. Right. Still. I remember the director. I mean, I was like, you cannot have the camera on the legs. And he went and he got a dancer from Las Vegas. And now the director was from London. And he was European, as in white. Mm-hmm. And the dancer he got, she was black. But she was, as we say, high yellow.
Uh-huh.
So then you have to put on. Then they put on. Two pair of gray stockings. And I was just like, girl, make that money. Yeah, just cash that check. That's their ignorance, you know. If they want to put a camera. You can't. A dance performance, you have to see the feet, the leg in relation to the whole. But at one point, they wanted to go there, but then they cast someone whose legs are your color. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. It was like, well, that was the least of it. Christina has a high butt. You have a. I was like, oh Lord, wow. You have a baby girl. And if you, you know, the, you just had to, as we say, you know, just win, let some of the battles go. Yeah.
Was that disappointing, though? I mean, like, you think, you know, you get this role, and it's like a breakout role, and you. I'm sure you must be thinking, well, this everything could change. This could take me down this path that I want to go down. And then you're dealing with shit like that. And was that part not what you expected? Was it disappointing?
Well, at that point, I was so, I mean, it was like the first big role breakout. But, you know, you're still, you know, new to L.A., you know, still auditioning. Every experience is wonderful. I mean, you've never been in a position where you're number one and you calling all shots and producing whatever happened. You know, it was none of that. So it was all fresh. It was like, and every day was difficult. It had its difficult because it was like physically draining. And, you know, up at 5, you're training for about, you know, 4 hours and, you know, you're dancing for 10 and you're eating chicken and string beans. I mean, and not... no luxury of sitting at a table to do it, yeah. You know. So it was just at black coffee, you're driving, you know, you get stopped by police because, you know, your emotions are just right on the edge. And then you're like, I fell asleep at the wheel going home. Could I please have a driver? Oh, yeah. I mean, you didn't know what you could ask for. Oh, wow. All you know is that you're going to, you know, attack the work and you're happy to do it. It's just crazy every day. You know, your body hurts, you know, you're emotionally fraught. I remember 17 hours of just like, when he knocks her over the back of the couch and drags her down the hallway and the little baby boy sees him with his trunk and turns around and he's crying. Anne's off camera crying, but, you know, just set because there was a stunt girl in there for some of it. But, I mean, you don't know. You go for it. I said, I'm going to have an aneurysm at the 17 straight hours of just giving it all you got emotionally, take.
Had you ever experienced anything like that before?
No, never. You know, on stage, it's what, 2.5.
Right.
2.5, and then you walk by Morgan Freeman eating grapes.
Right. Yeah, you do.
So how did you feel coming out of that? Did you feel like, boy, I hope I don't have to do that again? Or, well, that was exhilarating? Or
yeah, it was. How did I absolutely felt, wow. That was the most difficult thing I've ever done. And I said there was life before was love and life after love. After love is great. But I knew that being called upon to do something that difficult, that called on everything.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't going to be like every job after that. And it hasn't been. And it's been okay. But it also let me know that when I need to, I show up and through the fire and give it up. So it made me feel good about who I had grown to be, you know? Because people say, oh, you know, somebody else would stay in their trailer and not. I was like, I can't stay in my trailer. We got to get out here and get this done, you know? Forget that, you know? Forget that little ego.
Were you able to do that? You were able to do
that? Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I said, now, wait a minute. Let me say a prayer first. Okay, I'm ready. Let's go. That's all I need. Let me just say a thank you. All right, get me through this day. Okay, and now,
wow.
Whichever way you twist and turn me, let's go.
So,
and then I have a great co-star, you know, that I can depend on. So as crazy as it got, we were, you know, with Lawrence and Shy and Vanessa Bell, we were in it together, especially with Lawrence by my side.
Mm.
Coming off of, I mean, an iconic role like that, and then you got nominated. You get nominated for Academy Award too, like on your right away. How do you keep your head grounded through all that without going, oh, is this what happens all the time, or what if this never happens again? Like, what are you thinking at that point?
I don't know. It's 5 a.m. You've been up with your friend all night waiting for, like, what's going to happen. I remember, you know, my friend who I was with, and he was like, ah! They were screaming. Then the phone started ringing. To this day, I don't cut the ringer on the phone because it just was, you know, never ending. And but I remember going sotto voce, you know, like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, you couldn't believe it. Just, I mean, from single mom, sister growing up in the projects, Florida, St. Pete, no mentor, you know, that sort of thing. But, and just scratch and just making it to this place. It was, you know, it was pretty, it was just awesome. You couldn't be but humbled. You couldn't be like, this could happen all the time. I couldn't get, you just didn't feel cocky like that, you know? Wow.
Did you ever feel the weight of being a role model for people?
Not for people, but for, I mean, maybe...
Maybe for your kids you're lying to it. By crying fakely? Maybe for them?
Yeah. Or the mom who's like so tough, or the auntie who's over there, yeah. You know, with the straight A's, you know, just want to, you know, make your family proud.
Yeah, but everything that you described, I mean, your life before that, you said growing up in the projects, going mm-hmm. down to St. Pete, going back to New York, I mean, it's, mm-hmm. you know, there were
people who invested. That teacher from Upward Bound who was there at that program in Florida, he was, you know, I think he was in the armed forces, so he was just there for that 1 year. And then, you know, he, you know, sent me to, you know, chose me to go to Washington for this other, like, presidential classroom for young Americans. First time I'm out of St. Pete, you know, other than, you know, once in Salem. But to travel alone to D.C. and be in a room with kids from, you know, different countries and cultures. It was just exposure. And it was like, he could have chosen anyone. So you come back to Florida, he's gone. I have maybe two or three more years of high school. And then my mother gets a letter just at that appointed time when you're trying to decide what college to go to. And he's like, dear Ms. Bassett, tell Angela to apply to Yale, Harvard. He was on with his life. You know,
oh, wow.
Somewhere else. But he said, I remember this, you know, yellow paper and just these seven colleges that she should apply to. And it was like, wow, somebody's watching you, you know, and, you know, dropping things into your life. So I mean, lots. So that's why I applied to Yale.
Wow.
And whoops, what? Up jump spring. I got in.
What was that day like? Getting an acceptance letter to Yale.
Again, sotto voce. Oh, my God. And my mother was like on the, she had like a day bed. My sister and I had the bedroom, so mm-hmm. she had a day bed in this little area. And she was on her stomach just like kicking her hands and feet and like, ah! You know. And I was like, oh, nah, I got to go. Smart folk up there. Well, if I go for a year, I went. You know, for a year, we'll see. Yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah.
So what happens?
I didn't think I'd compete. I mean, it was like kids who went to, what school was that? Choate and Exeter and what is that?
Oh, yeah.
What
the
heck?
Your daddy do what? Oh, you got a daddy. Oh, you know. How nice. I got one too. I know I must have one too somewhere. But, so it was a little intimidating. Like you say, these. Put on the face. You put on the face, yeah. Mm-hmm. You stand in front of that mirror in your room and you self-talk. You talk to yourself. And I did, you know, literally. Just look in the mirror. What are you going to do? It's hard, right? Yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's kind of schizophrenic, but, you know.
I don't think, self-talk. I don't think it is. I mean, to me, it sounds like you're vocalizing these mm-hmm. thoughts and emotions and you're talking to yourself mm-hmm. the way you need someone
strong
to, yeah
talk.
Exactly yeah. I don't think there's anything
wrong with
about that
you
at
do
all
that too.
No, not at all. Okay. I've done that before where you're just kind of like you focus and you're like you need to do this, you know, you got to talk to yourself.
Mm-hmm. Oh mm-hmm. I always say you're such an idiot.
Well, that's a problem.
Interesting.
Because I think your brain ultimately will start to believe whatever you tell it.
That's what I tell my kids too, because they are like, I can't do it. I said, you know what, if you just say, you know, this is difficult, you know, this is interesting or something, don't say you can't, because if you say you can't, you won't be able to.
Yeah.
You know, everything will work to make you honest, you know? It won't work to make you a liar.
Yeah.
I can't do it. It's like, no, you're going to succeed. Yeah. But if you say you can't, you know, you give up, you give in, you won't be able to accomplish. I hate when they say they can't do anything before they even try it.
Yeah. But that's got to be, as a parent, when you see two creatures that you care about more than anything in the world... I just feel so bad for my mom. I know there were so many times
where she was like, you need to do this. And I'm like, you don't know what you're talking. And I look back and I go, I was a moron. I didn't know. I didn't know. Like, how do you help them without forcing them sometimes? Like, because they have to make the choice ultimately, right?
They do. I don't know. I grapple with that. Yeah. But this world is so, it's just like so different than when we grew up, you know?
Yeah.
It was just some some sanity, some simplicity, you know? We had the two-way party line. I don't know, you know?
Yeah. No internet. It was a lot easier.
You call waiting into this. Yeah, wait your turn. Call. I'm talking to somebody and it's taking 4 hours. Sorry, the line's busy. I'm listening to somebody breathe. Just be on the phone listening to him breathe. You still there? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Watch TV together. Now, it's just too many distractions.
So you say you did not know your father.
I didn't really. Well, he did come down to Florida, I think, when I was in ninth grade.
Yeah.
Came down for, Father's Day or something like that, or Labor Day or something like that. And then I saw him again when I was in college and I went to New York because he lived in New York. So I would go over for a weekend and I would always charge this number, you know. It's the least. You know? Oh, I thought it was the least.
Yeah. Well, literally is the least.
Yeah. So a little bit, and then he passed away my freshman year, my first year in grad school. And I remember Kate Burton took me, she was like one of the few people who had a car. So she drove me to New York to the hospital where he was. So I got to see him. And then when I got back, he had passed that weekend, aneurysm. So, I don't fault him. I think he was wonderfully, talented person, maybe wasn't the best father, like have a good clue with that, or that just didn't work out. But he's have a how come I'm here. So it was nice, sitting at the funeral, tap, 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 tap. Yes. Oh, this is your sister, Lisa. I'm an older half sister's like, and I'm like, use it. That's when being an actress comes in handy. Ooh, this is ripe for mining emotion. Yeah. What are you going to do? Make it good for something.
So it sounds like you're really amazing at adapting.
Ah, you think?
Well, everything that you've described. I mean, the fact that you have that kind of a healthy response to having a father that wasn't around, being at the funeral, having the presence of mind, getting from New York to Winston-Salem to St. Petersburg back to New York.
Yes.
Going from the projects, going to Yale, fitting, it sounds like you adapt.
Done a great deal of adapting.
Wow. That's what your therapist would say?
Yeah.
That's what he would say about you.
Yeah, that's
Matt's
what
Matt's therapist
saying.
Would say,
yeah,
Angela Bassett really adapts. You should be like her. Yeah. He wouldn't say that about Matt.
Because I've never had therapy. I don't just want to talk to nobody that long. Deeply.
Well, that's a podcast.
Well, share it together.
You're adaptive.
Good.
That never occurred to you?
Mm-mm, never. I thought I was half glass full.
Ah,
that kind of thing?
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. No matter what, you're able to just make stuff okay.
Oh, gosh, I try. But then, I'm like, should I take this one or that one? Or maybe this one? Or maybe that one? Someone said, did you have a really, controlling mother?
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe a little.
You made it, sometimes you felt like, let me manage these emotions. Uh-huh. It's all right. It's all right. It's good. It's good. So
what is it?
Maybe that was a part of it.
So too much choice is not good.
And being the oldest.
Too much choice is not good.
Yeah.
The oldest,
Uh-huh.
So I think you have that mantle where you have to, you're the first to come through and succeed. A lot of expected.
When you, so two questions. First one being, so the phone rings. They announce that you're nominated for an Academy Award. Your first film, and then what happens from that point up to the Oscars? Like, is it just beyond anything?
It is. I mean, It is a crazy month. It is go, 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 go. Phone ringing off the hook, loud. Flowers. You know, just... You know, just a learning curve, you know, big, thick eyebrows. I don't know what to do. Let's see what pretty dresses, you know. You just, you
your agent goes, guess what? Your rate just went up. This is great. This is great.
Well, I, even a little bit. didn't scare nobody off, I'm sure. even by double, didn't scare nobody off. I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, someone did that movie for scale.
No. Did I? No. This is a new day. Back in that day, they were a little bit more generous, I think, you know, than Schedule F. Schedule F.
I mean, even I feel like even the healthiest minded person, how do you navigate that? How do you navigate all that craziness? Because there's
but
so...
see, you know, being that Southern girl and you know, growing up with your grandfather and your great grandfather and going to church and choir rehearsal on Wednesday and all of that, you know, I remember the interviews like, "Why, thank you, Mr. Clark." He was like, "Nobody ever comes on, does an interview, and thank you, Mr. Dick Clark." You know, yeah, and you just have that respect for others, you know.
Yeah,
you know those you've seen and stuff, you know, and you just thankful to have been able to survive, you know, and get somewhere, you know, get somewhere that you dreamed of. So I still try to hold on to that wonder, so that you know, and then of course there are times at home you're like, "What's wrong with me?" Yeah, you know, but not to become cynical. You know, you always want to guard yourself against that. You know, because as they say, if you love what you do, you never work a day. And I do love what I do. And I say, you know, you always thought they're joy stealers. You know, when you ask, are they nice? Are they nice? You know, you work with different people and you just go, just so you won't become cynical. Ooh, they're joy stealers. You know, but this is, we're not doing brain surgery. Oh.
That's a great nickname for me, by the way.
Joy Stealer. But still, you know, loving it at the end of the day. And I love just odd people, even the hardest ones to get along with. I try to find a way to get along with them. Neutralize situation. Neutralize, man.
I love the idea of identifying someone as a joy stealer, because what's great about that is that you know, I feel like, it's so easy to take things personally. Mm-hmm. God, what I do? Oh, why is it? Yeah. But if you just kind of...
And I have, and I had agent. Don't take it personal. He was like, it is personal.
I'm a person.
Pay me. My God, that's personal. Pay me what you owe me. It's been having my money. Oh. Great song. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you want to perform more of that song, that would be totally fine. That would be totally fine, because we got off to a good start.
That's the best part.
All right, that's a good part. So what do you do when you start having, because I said earlier, and Matt said, oh, you have so many options. I go, I think too many options is freaky. It's too overwhelming, because how do you know? It's just like with editing. How do you know? Like, so yeah. People, I'm sure, are just shoving scripts at you. And how do you not?
You know, there are periods where, I mean, it's not that much shoving going on. You know, it's all about perception.
Let me
too.
Just say,
a lot of people say they think you work a lot, but, you know, it's as if I'm programming. So maybe the movies I've done, you know, wind up on TV, or I find myself in interesting places like American Horror Story, mm-hmm. or, you know.
I just want to say, if they shove a Star Trek script at you.
Oh, you heard about that? Isn't that something? Yeah, they put that. Yeah.
Please. Take it. Should be fucking great.
I agree.
Yeah. Heard some.
Listen, it's steady
Twitter.
Work. It's great. It is. You kidding me?
It is. You a Trekkie?
Oh yeah.
Oh, Matt. Matt's
way
the,
deep.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get a work over there too. So I figure if you get in,
yeah.
Then you say, hey, you know, Matt, he's pretty good. Mm-hmm, maybe he can write mm-hmm. it.
You know, I know this joy stealer that I have on the podcast.
We are missing a joy stealer in this writer's room, and I have the perfect guy.
So there's going to be some alien race that are just joy stealers. Like whenever they're around, everyone just feels like.
So where'd that rumor come from? Do we know?
I somebody texts me and is like, "Is this true? Is this true?" I don't know. He Fuller, mm-hmm. who. Involved with it,
very involved.
Yeah,
new showrunner,
and I think he just
float the name out there.
Float the name, like see mm-hmm. how people respond, huh? You think what people think?
I was about very it? Positive on Twitter, so I tried uh-huh. to help.
Okay.
Assuming you want it.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, we'll see. That's, you know, I've had that kind of talk before, but mm-hmm. before it was like written in ink in the Hollywood Reporter. It was like, Storm. Well, I didn't know anything about it, but you said, okay, well, y'all get it together and come back right. Yeah, and then it goes a whole another way. Yeah. So, you know, we'll see.
Well, they didn't write Storm very well in the movies. She's a lot better in the comics.
Yeah.
She's like the leader of the X-Men, mm-hmm. like in the comics, but in the movie, she's like.
They fell down. They fell down.
That's why you need to be a starship captain.
That's what I'm uh-huh. saying. And well, take like captain, no lower rank.
Running
please.
Shit. I'm pretty.
They come at you with chief engineer, say no.
No. You are a Federation
no
captain.
No, you don't want that. You don't want to be chief engineer. No. LeVar mm-hmm. did that already. We got it. We got a great chief engineer already.
Mm-hmm.
No, you made the visor.
Oh,
yeah. She made the visor hands.
She knows what's up. You know, I think, you know, don't take Admiral either.
Why?
I think we all learned that lesson from Captain Kirk.
All right.
When he got promoted to Admiral, he was very sad.
And he had to get demoted back down to Captain.
Mm-hmm. So he got demoted to Captain, and that was the greatest thing.
You're as obsessed with, as Matt is obsessed with Star Trek. No.
Big kid. I love it.
How do you see each, do you kind of see each project as its own organism, and you just figure out how you fit into it, or do you feel like, there's something I could really do with, like what excites you?
I love when I get excited. And sometimes it can be very visceral, or sometimes you read a script and it's like, I'm bored. but I love when I get excited and just a little in the pit of the stomach, just a little frightened, like just a little bit scared, you know? Because it should be. It's not a walking apart. Like, I got this. I know exactly how I'm going to do this. I like when there's just a little bit of trepidation, you know, parts unknown. And
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Hmm.
Parts unknown, most, like deep space missions?
Yeah, you got it. You caught it.
Interesting. I'm sorry. I just really need that to come back to television.
I mean, listen, we're talking about it now, so stranger things have happened mm-hmm. that we've talked about on the podcast, and then they somehow magically
You're
materialize.
Welcome, X-Files.
They magically materialize.
It came back. Is that it, what it you talked back. About, the return?
Listen, we got a hashtag going on Twitter, uh-huh. and yeah.
We can't take full credit
No,
for
we
that.
Won't. Obviously, they were in
Not
talks
full.
Before that. I mean,
okay.
come on.
Okay.
They had a show.
But if there was a hashtag.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yes, Christopher, if there was a hashtag.
Captain Angela Bassett, 2016.
I mean, we need a shorter hashtag.
I think that would, that's...
Beset Trek?
Beset Trek.
Oh!
No one's going to know how to...
Beset Trek. You know the two, yeah.
All right. It sounds good, but no one can spell it. I get it.
You know what?
It ain't that hard.
You know what?
Yes?
Let's make it Bassettrek. Bassettrek.
You got Bassettrek, it.
Bassettrek, yes.
Bassettrek, yes. Let's see if we can generate some support.
I'm on board. I will lead that campaign.
Is there any type of role that you feel like you would never do?
I think I'm open to a lot of things, but I can't, you know, just get beaten down to the ground and it's just like no hope whatsoever, you know,
yeah.
You know, some roles I've been asked to do, I just feel as if they're a device, you know, just a device to move the story along as opposed to a full character.
Right.
It just seemed, you know, it's just written, cobbled, a device, you know?
Yeah.
So I hate that.
Yeah.
I hate that kind of thing.
I've read interviews before where you've talked about trying to break stereotypes in Hollywood for African-American women.
You know, I'm just a passionate person. I don't mind the loud, the defiant, you know, the resilient, you know,
both
that
great
sort of
starship
thing.
Names, but.
The resilience.
The defiance.
Well, that's already was a ship. Avery Brooks was the captain.
Oh, Avery. Yeah. I work with him. My man, Hawk. A man called Hawk. Oh, yeah. Gosh. Came out to L.A. and the first job I get was with him, and I have to go to Boston and shoot it. Yeah. Yeah.
Spencer for Hire.
That was good.
Nice.
Yep.
Remember when Woody cameoed on Spencer for Hire on Cheers? I do. Anyway.
Really?
Yeah. Ooh. It's an episode of Cheers. Don't worry about it. Defiant, resilient, you were saying?
But I don't know. I guess when I think of my mother, you know, growing up in South, little public school, going to Yale, you know, people have their perception of you, but to, you know, to show up, to show out, to give your best, to not demand anything, but it's like, you just can't. There's a segment of people, I think, disenfranchised, and they are the salt, you know, they are the glue. I root for the underdog, you know, and sometimes I feel growing up, that's who I've been. So I always feel connected to rooting for the meek, the mild, the young, the vulnerable,
yeah,
that sort of thing. So I appreciate that in people. Doing a man called Hawk, I think that's one reason it went off the air, because he was like an automaton. He was like, you know what I mean? You couldn't hit him. You couldn't trip him. You couldn't fool him. You couldn't lie to him. You couldn't kiss him. I was like, there's no kryptonite, you know? You're not real.
Well,
vulnerable.
Yeah, that's true.
I can't even appreciate your strength because it's not juxtaposed with your vulnerability, your humanity.
That's why you're Team Batman, not Team Superman. Yeah.
You know, so I love that juxtaposition, you know, your strength and your vulnerabilities.
You're up in a big battle, your shields are down, you know, you got two photon torpedoes left.
So you're being attacked by Klingons right now. You're being attacked by Klingons.
What are you going to do? You're going to use your wits. That's what you're going to get with. You're going to find out that on board you have a Romulan cloaking device. You have your engineer install. I'm telling you, I got it all written. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my
we'll
God, the jargon. I don't know if my mind can move that
practice,
quickly.
You're
the Romulan.
Need it.
The Romulan.
Yeah. Bassett Trek.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. Bassett Trek, yes.
Bassett Trek, yes. So as we're kind of wrapping this down, what's important to you now? Like, what is important to you in your life?
My kids, absolutely. You know, that they are exposed. They're growing up in Los Angeles, and you know, their mom and their dad successful, that you know, they just don't take for granted.
Willow Smith. I just was choking on a.
Oh, mine are not that entitled. Yeah,
not Willow. That's the problem. You know.
As I was saying, you know, just that they are appreciative, get an education, be strong, valuable, you know, individuals, you know, find their way. I not go too crazy in the process.
What if they go to Harvard?
They talk about that. That's okay. Because Gordy went to Harvard. He talks about that. Yeah, okay. Well, go to Harvard, not just this. The sweater, you know, in a baseball cap. Like, go.
Courtney went to Harvard?
Yeah.
And you went to Yale?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, mixed marriage.
That's crazy. Do either of you care about the football game every year? No?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, they're married since 1997. I feel like they probably,
there have been some great games in that period.
They figured it out.
Yeah.
I didn't go to either school, but I had to care because I was in Boston.
Do you have one? Do you have one piece of wisdom?
Florida was like,
one piece of wisdom to impart to people. That's like, is there a nugget of wisdom that you always loved, or something maybe your grandparents told you, or something, like one piece of wisdom that you picked up that you always kind of go back to?
My Uncle Charles, when I came to L.A., you know, okay, I'm going to go and give myself, you know, a certain amount of time, and then I'm going to go back to New York and, you know, and keep at it. And I called him, and I was like, I'm kind of working, I'm kind of doing, I did a man called Hawk. I mean, it's kind of working. I'm going from stop to stop to stop. I call myself like a 1-hour episodic slut. And yeah, that's when they were doing like, you know, 1-hour dramas in town, you know. And but that's all I did, you know, dramas. And I said, and it's working. It came out. He's, don't get off a winning horse.
Yeah.
And it was like, got it on, click. And it just made so much sense, you know. When you're working it, stay in awe of it, stay humbled by it, stay, you know, thankful, enjoy every, you know, experience and the wonderful people that you're meeting on the journey, and know you can win. It's about your attitude. Don't get off a winning horse.
Well, I'm so appreciative that you came here after Junket stuff to come chat with us.
This is great.
About a bunch of random stuff for an hour. And Deb is our booker sitting over there. I begged her to get you on. Oh. I was very excited to get you on. I just think you do such wonderful work, and you've managed to do it. You've just like role after role after role, you know, like even playing real people or pretend people, or, you know, there's just something a little extra special about you in a thing that when I told people, I said, oh, I'm doing a podcast. Are you doing Angela Bat? I love her. Like, there's just something that you radiate that makes people feel good.
Good.
So whatever that is.
I love people.
Take it on to the bridge of the whatever.
I love people. People. Soylent Green is people. No.
The resilience.
Still good,
sorry,
though. Doesn't mean it's not tasty. But thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for
and,
having me.
And good luck with everything. London Has Fallen opens March 4th.
March 4th.
So, guys, remember, I don't know if you remember, when Olympus fell. But guess what?
London.
This time.
London's going to fall.
London.
But that's okay, because Angela Bassett's there, Morgan Freeman's there, and Gerard Butler's there.
Well, I mean, really, Gerard Butler, he's there to destroy everybody as a one-man army.
I feel like...
You better know it.
not to spoil anything, yeah. I feel like in all of your hands, London's going to be okay when all the dust settles. Feel like London's going to be okay.
It is.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
Behind every successful business is a story, and some of them might surprise you. Like how Chobani's first yogurt factory was discovered on a piece of junk mail. Or how the founder of the multi-million dollar cosmetics brand Drunk Elephant was told by everyone, including her own mother, that the name sounded like a dive bar. I'm Guy Raz, and on my show How I Built This, I talk to founders behind the world's biggest companies and brands to learn the real stories of how they built them. In each episode, you'll hear entrepreneurs share moments of doubt and failure and talk about how they were able to overcome them on their way to the top. How I Built This is like a masterclass in innovation and creativity, a how-to guide for navigating life's challenges from the people who've done it all. Follow How I Built This on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to How I Built This early and ad-free right now on Wondery Plus.